Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. May I remind us, life's filled with issues. Each of us have different issues that we're faced with each day. And by the way, may I remind us, you're our listening audience. You are part of the program. We are a listener participation broadcast program. You can call us at 401-1413, enter your discussion, ask your question, have your dialogue, an opportunity for us to discuss what's on your heart and what you are thinking in relationship to any of these issues. Multitudes of issues. We could name them by the dozens that we're faced with. Some of the ones that I like to discuss and talk about, in fact, for the most part, simply are those that will interface with and intersect in our lives. And may I remind us that when we come to questions and difficulties and searching for answers, the Word of God is the only source book to give us answers that are absolute. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus himself said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." Now, it's not a matter of what media says, a politician says, society may say. It's a matter of what does the Bible say in relationship to these issues. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little statement to put to rest some of the things that is on my heart. We have a society today that's allowed the church society in general, that's allowed the philosophy and the mentality and the mindset and the ideologies and thoughts of society to come into the body of Christ and basically permeate our thinking and our thought process. You see, in the Word of God, if you are a Christian in the New Testament, it's called a God-fearer in the Old Testament. In both cases, we're charged with the responsibility to be a watchman on the wall. We're charged with the responsibility to be salt and light. We're charged with the responsibility of warning the world and the nations and the communities around us of the dangers ahead. If I were to stand in the pulpit any Sunday morning and I would preach a message, and I would just simply say that there's a person out there that's going to be dangerous, and of course I'm dealing with the Antichrist and talking about the Antichrist. If I say he's dangerous, need to be on the lookout for him, one day is coming, and I do not identify him, I do not biblically show you why he is dangerous and what is going to take place, I've done you a disservice. If I were to tell you, if you walk out of your door, there's a venomous reptile that's going to be very damaging, could kill you, and I don't identify that dangerous reptile so that you know what you're looking for, I've done you a disservice. We have the responsibility as shepherds to shepherd the flock of God. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. The word shepherd comes to the little Greek word poimanitate. Poimanitate. What does the word poimanitate mean? It means to lead, to feed, to guard, to guide, to warn, to correct, to comfort, etc., etc. And so if we are to be shepherds of the flock, and that's what the scripture talks about in the 1 Peter 5 text, shepherd the flock of God that he's given you charge over. That means to lead, to feed, to warn, to guide, to correct, to comfort, to instruct, etc. And that's what any preacher worth his salt will do. It's not just a matter of every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, telling you how you need to get saved, what you need to get saved, and telling you that Jesus loves you. That's part of it. But if we take the scripture, Genesis through Revelation, and we preach the scripture verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, it's going to give the whole counsel of God. And in part of that whole counsel of God is warning the world, and in particular warning we as the believers, of where we are in society and biblically on the chronological calendar of God. And we happen to be living in the last of the last days. And the more we see about society and what's taking place with the bombings that has taken place and the attempted murder by the jihadists in the past several days, just simply as a little microcosm of the global downfall and the plummet into the abyss as a world. We're finding more and more every day the Word of God leaping off the page when it warns us that we're in the last of the last days. By the way, when it comes to Ahmed Khan Rahim, the one that they have taken into custody in New Jersey and New York for planting the bombs, I find it ironic, I find it sad, I find it distressing that according to today's New York Times, and another report also, not just the New York Times, but 2 years ago, Ahmed's father told the authorities that his son was a terrorist. Went into headquarters, police headquarters, told them what he had found, what he saw that his son was doing, what he had discovered, and said, I think he's a terrorist. The local police department turned that over to the feds with the FBI. The FBI supposedly did a two-month investigation and came back and told the father, quote, your son is not a terrorist. Your son is not a terrorist. In fact, let me just read you the little blurb. Ahmed Khan Rahim's father, Mohammed, spoke to reporters outside his home in Elizabeth, New Jersey. 2 years ago, I called the FBI. My son, he's doing very bad things. Okay, but they check it almost 2 months. Then they come back and tell me, your son is not a terrorist. I said, okay. Now that they say he's not a terrorist, okay, he's not a terrorist. I find it egregious that that is the case. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason for that is that over 1,000 pages in the handbooks, the guidebooks for the CIA, the FBI, and other high-level intelligence services in America have been removed and are redacted and are heavily altered so that you do not have the words Islam and terrorist even in the same sentence or the same page. They have been told not to say anything about Islamic terrorism. So may I remind us, that's just a microcosm of where we are in society. We must be reminded that we do live in the last days. God's Word tells us about it. What's going to happen next? Let me just give you a little recap. Then I want to make a transition into a study on a portion of Scripture that many have never studied. Number of people, even those that are in the pulpits, never refer to, never exegete, never warn the people about in relationship to the coming Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. You can jump in this discussion any place. We'll put on breaks long enough to listen to your question, respond to it, get back on track, and or continue with what you're talking about. In either event, you're free to call at 904-401-1413. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Immediately following the rapture of the church is the 7 years of ruin. The Bible calls it 7 years of tribulation. Following the 7 years of tribulation, the cataclysmic event known as the Battle of Armageddon shall take place, and the Lord Jesus Christ will return and settle and finalize the Battle of Armageddon with the sword of his mouth, the Scripture says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21. And then he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years from his throne in the new temple in Jerusalem. And then he'll rule throughout all of eternity. But the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Immediately following the rapture of the church, the Antichrist will step on the scene. Now, who is this Antichrist? Down through the years, a number of conjectures have been made There have been a lot of folks that have come up with different ideas and thoughts and as to who it would be and so forth. May I remind us, some have said that it was Henry Kissinger back in that day. Others have said it's the Ayatollah Khomeini. Others said it was Saddam Hussein. Some have said it's the Pope. Even some speculated during the Bill Clinton administration because he was so slick and cunning and deceitful that it may even be Bill Clinton. Several had said in the past few years because of Barack Hussein Obama that he may be the Antichrist. Now, listen, don't you leave this broadcast today and say, Dr. Youngblood said that Barack Hussein Obama is the Antichrist. I don't believe that. I believe that he is the forerunner, setting the stage for the Antichrist to step on the scene. When the Antichrist steps on the scene, the word Antichrist means that everything that Jesus Christ is for, the Antichrist is against. He is the one that is the direct opposite of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He will come forth immediately following the rapture of the church. The Antichrist will come forth having supernatural demonic authority and powers. He is the absolute Antichrist. May I remind us that the scripture reminds us, and I'll not exegete Revelation 13 today. I'll use that as kind of a backdrop in my references. But we see in Revelation 13, verses 5, 6, and 7, the cunning persecution. We'll persecute the child of God. There will be war with the saints at his coming. May I remind us, when we talk about the Antichrist, he is one that is going to be a brilliant person. In fact, some have said, and let me just give you the little overview that some have stated in different categories about the Antichrist. He will have the oratorical skills of John Kennedy. He will have the inspirational power of Winston Churchill. He will have the determination of Joseph Stalin. He will have the vision of Karl Marx. He will have the respectability of a Gandhi. He will have the military powers of Douglas MacArthur. He will have the charm of Will Rogers. He will be looked at as a genius, as King Solomon. Additionally, he will be empowered by Satan and will be incredible in his power and will use that power against God and all of God's people. And the whole world will be bowing at his feet. We're talking about the coming Antichrist. May I remind us, if you're seated and you're not driving your car, don't try to do it naturally driving. But in your Bible, in the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter, first 35 verses dealing with Antiochus Epiphanes the fourth, and then when you get to verse 36 of chapter 11 in the book of Daniel, makes a transition with the mirror image of Antiochus Epiphanes will be none other than the coming Antichrist. I want us to take a few moments in this broadcast, and I pray that it will be inspirational, challenging, and educational for you in discussing who the Antichrist will be. May I remind us that as you look at Daniel 11, verses 36 through 39, we see, first of all, his complete perversion. His complete perversion. The coming Antichrist is powerful, prideful. He will persecute the saints. He will prevail against them, according to the scripture. But beyond that, he is absolutely perverted. Listen, in verse 37 of Daniel, we're in Daniel chapter 11, the scripture says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. So the first thing I want to remind us about the coming Antichrist, he will be spiritually idolatrous. Spiritually idolatrous. He will not worship or recognize the true God. He will be the ultimate humanist, represented in his mark 666, as found in Revelation 13 and verse 18. He will most likely be an Islamic, those who worship Allah and not Almighty God. And it says in that text, he shall not regard the God of his fathers. And in the context, who's the God of his fathers? It's talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is talking about the God of the Jews and of the Christians. The Antichrist will literally hate the true God. He will hate the church and everything that is Christian. And you find that, by the way, in Revelation chapter 13. You find that in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8. You find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and following. The Antichrist will hate the true God. He'll hate the church. He'll hate the Christian. We're seeing a great falling away today from true worship. We're finding the apostasy spoken of by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This sets the stage, by the way. This sets the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It is the apostasy of the church, the turning away from true Christianity, that we find today that is permeating all of society. This is the reason, by the way, in one of the future broadcasts we're going to do, answer the question, is Christianity disappearing from America? And the answer to that is absolutely unequivocally yes. I understand there's some of those that everything they say has got to be positive, got to be, we're having revival, we're going to have revival, it's going to get better and better. A little boy says it'll get gooder and gooder. No, it won't get better and better. There's no gooder and gooder or better and better about it. Our world is in a declension, a rapid declension. And when we see the falling away, the church will be raptured out. The Antichrist will step on the scene. He will be spiritually idolatrous, but also he will be sexually immoral. Sexually immoral. Verse 37 of Daniel 11. Nor the desire of women. Now, I understand, and you may be of that camp. I don't know. I pray that you're not. Liberal scholars and some well-meaning Christians in other camps attempt to attach some other meaning to this phrase. However, the best translation is that he will be a homosexual. I believe the Antichrist will be a practicing in-your-face sodomite. I believe that he will be a practicing homosexual. Today around the globe, we see sodomites are taking control of society. With a less than 2% of Americans that fall in that category, we're seeing a major upheaval. We're seeing corporate entities do backflips and stand on their ear to try to appease the sodomite community. Now, I'm not saying we need to go out and mistreat those folks. I'm not saying we need to go out and publicly demean them and prevent them from having jobs. Not on your life. They have the constitutional liberties and rights the same as I do and the same as you do. But we ought not to have any special religious caveats that makes the Christian subservient to the sodomite community. And everybody that's a Christian must bow and bend and embrace the sodomite lifestyle and say everything is okay. I totally reject that and believe that it is absolutely contrary to what we as believers ought to do. May I remind us, the coming Antichrist will be one that is a practicing homosexual, according to what I understand in the Scripture, nor the desire of women. May I remind us, we need to be very, very careful when we are elevating what we find in society today in relationship to the homosexual movement. The coming Antichrist will also want to change the moral laws of the world. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 says, and think that his plan on to change the times and the laws. He, may I remind us, hate crime laws in Great Britain and Canada and other parts of the globe are absolutely today permeating society. And we're trying our best to do that in America. We're trying our best today to make the homosexual movement and the Islamic movement be something that we ought to adhere to, and look at, and embrace, rather than saying it's wrong, and we are not going to submit to it according to the Word of God. Now, I understand there's some mealy-mouthed, spineless preachers that have the philosophy that we ought not talk about things like that, that somehow, some way, if we just tell everybody about Jesus, it's going to stop all sin, and we ought not to be cognizant of what's happening in the world. But may I remind us, we need to be the watchman on the wall, warning society of where this world is going, and what we need to do is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. The Islamics today, are looked at as having holy days and holidays and so forth. May I remind us that's as a result of, and it's being celebrated in American circles, especially in some of the hierarchy in Washington, where they say that we need to recognize and embrace those holy days and holidays of the Islamics. Our military must recognize Ramadan, while in other countries, yes, the stage is being set, the time is close, the day is ready, the rapture of the church is at hand, the Antichrist is ready to step out, step on the scene, and make himself known on a global basis. And I say, America, we need to wake up, stand up, speak up before it's too late. We're talking about his perversion. He will be spiritually idolatrous. He will be sexually immoral. Thirdly, he will be supernaturally influential. In verse 38, the early portion of verse 38, we're talking about Daniel, the 11th chapter. But in his estate, he shall honor the God of forces. Literally, he will have unholy, supernatural, demonic power, empowered by Satan himself. He will not honor the true God, but he will honor the God of forces. We see this today with the onslaught of the Islamic State in Syria. We see this today in Iraq. We see this today with the beheading and the rapings and the crucifixion of people. The Antichrist will come to the point of power, and that power is received and recognized for its totality on a global basis. He will recognize only the God of forces, forcing submission and surrender to his power. And in Revelation chapter 13, you see the mark of the beast, the Antichrist with the 666. It is the mark of identification, where people will gladly want to be identified with this man that is powerful, this man that is preeminent, this man that's on the throne of control of all of the globe. And may I remind us, we're seeing the precursor of that today. He will be supernaturally idolatrous. He will be sexually immoral. He will be supernaturally influential. And fourth, he will be sinfully irreverent. He will be sinfully irreverent. May I remind us, the scripture says in this text, "And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall the Antichrist do in the most strongholds with a strange God," that is Allah, in my opinion, "whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory," that is honor and recognition. May I remind us, the stage is set. The stage is being put on full display when we see that in the Revelation 13 text, for example, he'll have an image of himself made that on a global international basis, everybody, every place will see his image and will fall down and worship it. The Antichrist will bring in global recognition and submission, bowing before Allah. I just read an article, ladies and gentlemen, that is basically fulfilling the statement that I've made now for months and months and months, and that is about France in particular. In fact, they have polled the majority of the French citizens, and they find that out of the total Islamic French citizens, that over half of them want to cause France to go to Sharia law. You hear what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Sharia law, that is Quranic law. In fact, out of that whole group that they had polled, they have determined that they're going to make France be an Islamic state. And in doing so, that means that everybody's got to follow and adhere to the demands and the dictates of life, living, and lifestyle of the Quran. And may I remind us that France is perhaps the farthest down that path. Germany's second behind them. All of Europe is following in the footsteps. And America is what I call, with our leadership in Washington, a wannabe nation. We want to be like France. We want to be like Germany. We want to be like Western Europe. And in that wannabe state, we're absolutely standing on a banana peel with both feet in Washington and with the hierarchy and our leadership in our nation, forcing us toward, fast-tracking us toward, an Islamic state for the United States of America. May I remind us, the Antichrist will bring in global recognition and submission, bowing before Allah. This is exactly what the Islamic Quran and the Imams are pointing out about their coming Mahdi, the 12th Imam, as they call him, the lost Imam, that supposedly one day will come on the scenes and is going to bring about global peace. And in that bringing about global peace, Jesus Christ will return, stand beside the coming Mahdi, the 12th Imam, and will lead the world. This is in their ideology of Islam, and will lead the world to follow Islam and become an Islamic globe. May I remind us, we need to be very, very careful with what we're doing in our nation. I understand we're in the last days. I do realize that we're plummeting down the darkened hillside into the abyss, if you will, morally and ethically and spiritually. But I'm warning us as a people, as a watchman on the wall, warning us with what we need to expect if we continue the path that we're going. Yes, the Antichrist is coming. Yes, the time frame is already set by Holy God. But I believe that America is in the position of making choices and decisions that's going to allow it to be sped up. God's going to say, if that's what you want, friends, you can have it. If that's what you want to do, have at it. I believe God's going to use that to judge our nation as a result of our displeasing him, rebellion against him. Study the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. What did he do with Judah? He pronounced judgment. 100 years later, the judgment fell. Why did he pronounce judgment? They refused to hear God. They rebelled against God. They were wicked and refused to acknowledge God, even in the midst of their trial in Isaiah chapter 1. God offered them clemency if they just simply repent and return to him. They refused to do so. God pronounced his judgment. His judgment ultimately fell, and they were taken into captivity. And may I remind us, I believe that God can use a wicked society, a wicked nation that can come in and God use as his judgment tool on a nation called the United States of America as a result of our rebellion and our displeasing him and going against him. We're talking about the Antichrist. He will be supernaturally idolatrous. He will be sexually immoral. He will be supernaturally influential. He will be sinfully irreverent. And may I remind us, he will be satanically inspired. Hear me well. He will be satanically inspired. Verse 39 of Daniel, the 11th chapter. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. May I remind us, just as Muhammad did, the Antichrist will divide the territory among his puppet followers. May I remind you, 1917, the Balfour Declaration divided Palestine years and years ago. We see the attempts over the years trying to divide Israel into parts called Palestine for the Arabs to come in and have their own nation. The past several presidents have tried to have a two-state settlement for the nation of Israel, coming in and saying to Israel, you got to divide. You've got to divide. You've got to divide the nation. You've got to give part of Israel to the Arabs. You've got to give part of Israel to the Jews and have a two-state settlement. This president, President Obama, we had that under Bill Clinton. We had that under George Bush. We had it under Bush 1. May I remind us, there's a mindset in society. We've got to divide Palestine. We've got to divide Israel. It is a satanically inspired, satanically enforced mindset that they're striving for. There's never been an ethnic group called Palestinians. The Antichrist, as Satan's puppet, hates the Jews. Hates Israel, hates the Christian, hates the nation of Israel. If you don't believe he hates the nation of Israel, study the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation. You'll find why Satan hates Israel. Why does Satan hate Israel? Why does Satan hate the Jews? Because it's out of the Jewish people, it's out of the Jewish background that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this old world. And as Jesus Christ came into the world, and as a result of that, Satan hates Israel, Satan hates the Jews. And may I remind us, as we see these things coming about, Luke 21:28 says, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. And may I close with that point. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not saved, get saved. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have folks in your family that's lost, get them saved. Show them the Word of God. Show them the claims of Christ upon their lives. But we need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We need to be a watchman on the wall, warning people of the dangers to come. If I were out on the highway and a wreck takes place and I see cars careening to their death, I need to get out in the middle of that highway, in the midst of the rain, in the midst of the darkness, wave my arms, warning, danger ahead, danger ahead, danger ahead, that lives might be preserved and not go over the cliff into the abyss. And that's what God's called you for and for me and our day and our life is to be watchmen on the walls, warning the world that Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes, we need to be ready. And if you've not said yes to Jesus Christ, you're not ready. And when Satan puts his Superman on the scene, the Antichrist, it'll be too late, too late. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that it's been a blessing, inspiration, and encouragement today. Looking forward to joining you on the air again tomorrow at 5 o'clock on the same station. God bless you and thank you for tuning in.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.